just make your zip home in their father's house.
Amen. It's good to be back at Fletcher tonight. I've enjoyed the service thus far. We praise the Lord for the opportunity God has given us to be with you all tonight. Just as family, that was just a blessing. We appreciate each one of you being here tonight and y'all just singing and letting the Lord lead. The very first song tonight, Brother Randy, as you were leading the very first song and the words came up there about the Lord leading. I'm telling you, man, it just hit me. It dug in my soul. That's my desire, is for the Lord to lead and for the Lord to have His way. Amen? Amen. We've been preaching this week in the book of Nehemiah. And I'll be honest, every night I've tried to move away from it the next night, and I just have been unable to do so. So tonight, we're going to start in the book of Leviticus. Chapter 26. Leviticus chapter 26. I believe that Israel was God's chosen people. And I believe that God's people, Israel, were to know Him and they were to make Him known. Church, our job is to know Jesus as our Savior and our job is to make Him known. Amen? Yet Israel disgraced God. They disobeyed God. They rebelled against God. And I dare say that we are disobedient and we rebel against God. When I look in Leviticus 26 verse 14, "But if you will not hearken unto me and will not do all these commandments, and if you shall despise my statutes, or if your soul abhor my judgments, so that you will not do all my commandments, but that you break my covenant, I also will do this unto you. I will even appoint over you terror." Have you ever seen a day and age in which terrorism seems to reign in our nation? How did, in Nehemiah's day, how did the people of God get carried away into captivity? How did the walls get broken down? How did the gates get burned with fire? How do we get in this situation? By disobeying God. And God said the results would be He would allow terror. Look, consumption, never satisfied. You get it? The burning ague that shall consume the eyes and cause sorrow of heart, and ye shall sow your seed in vain, for your enemies shall eat it. I will set my face against you. You shall be slain before your enemies. They that hate you shall reign over you. I wonder about leadership in our nation. I wonder if they really love our nation or if they really hate the citizenship. "You shall flee when none pursueth you. And if you will not yet for all this hearken unto me, then I will punish you seven times more for your sins. I will break the pride of your power. I will make your heaven as iron and your earth as brass. Your strength shall be spent in vain. Your land shall not yield her increase. Neither shall the trees of the land yield their fruits. If you walk contrary unto me and will not hearken unto me, I will bring seven times more plagues upon you according to your sins. I will also send wild beasts among you," that's speaking about violence, "which shall rob you of your children and destroy your cattle and make you few in number, and your highway shall be desolate." Wow. Verse 25. "I will bring a sword upon you that shall avenge the quarrel of my covenant, and when you are gathered together within your cities, I will send a pestilence among you. You shall be delivered into the hand of the enemy. How many of y'all are feeling really good right now? When you read what God said, this is what I'll do if you disobey my voice, if you disregard my commandments. If you think your way is better than my way, this is what I'll do. They didn't believe God would do that and thought they would do their own thing. And God allowed Babylon to come in and take them captive. May I say to America tonight that the enemy is coming in. I'm talking about the devil. Like a flood, he's coming in and he's trying to reign and rule and ruin our nation. The walls which have stood for the glory of God are broken down and the gates have been burned with fire. And it breaks my heart. Nehemiah was living in captivity, living in Shushan the palace. Some years before, after 70 years in Babylonian captivity, the Medes and the Persians broke through and defeated them. King Cyrus of Persia said the Jews can go home. 2 million Jews in captivity. You know how many went home? Not all of them. 49,000. A very small percentage. Amazing that they're set free, but they don't want to live in freedom. They're scared of living in freedom. Scared of living in liberty. 49,000 with Ezra went and they rebuilt the temple. Took some time. Through great opposition, great discouragement, they built the temple, but there's still no city walls. The gates are still burned with fire. Nehemiah asked, how are things going? Hanani and some of the brethren came through and said, oh man, my chin's quivered, my eyes are welled with tears. It's not good, Nehemiah. The gates are burned with fire, the walls are broken down. And Nehemiah wept and mourned and fasted and prayed and sought the face of heaven. And God laid on his heart, Nehemiah, I want you to go home to Jerusalem and lead the people that are there to rebuild the walls and to repair and reset the gates. Nehemiah said, oh, I need permission. I need protection. I need provision. And God provided everything he needed. He comes home to Jerusalem. He gets on his beast. He rides around the city walls. But it's so much ruin and so much rubbish that he can't even have a place for the beast that's under him to walk through. He comes back to the people and says, let us arise and build. God has called us to this moment, and God wants to send revival to our land. The people said, did I hear you right? Arise and build. Yes, we have the timber. We have the king's provision. We have everything we need. They begin to work. Let us arise and build. They begin to work. And after they got halfway done, Judah got discouraged and said, there's much rubbish. We're not able to finish this wall. Now I'm telling you, sometimes we go through discouragement. Sometimes we go through deceit. Sometimes we go through dismay. Sometimes we have to resist Satan's schemes that we might continue. And Nehemiah encouraged the people, said, don't listen to Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem. Listen to God. And in some 52 days, through much opposition, through much rebellion, through much adversity, the people of God completed the work that God had called them to do. Hallelujah! I think about the book of Nehemiah now in chapter number 8. The book of Nehemiah, chapter number 8. You would think the people would be excited. Amen. Here they are. They've returned home. The temple is rebuilt. The city walls are reconstructed. There's security in the land. And yet, will you hear me? They're stale. Have you ever eaten stale potato chips? Wow. Have you ever eaten stale crackers? I got some today. What God, what I'm studying. Stale cracker. I threw the whole thing away. Stale cereal. You ever had Oh, I hate that. Who left it open? I'd like to whoop somebody. Reckon God's ever had some stale Christians? Some stale preaching? There's a spark missing for these Jews. Though God has done all this work for them and blessed them, where is the fire? Where is the shout? Where is the enthusiasm? Something is missing. I believe they're caught up in what they lost. Oh, we spent 70 years away. We'll never get it back. I believe they're caught up in fears. There's still crisis on every hand. There's still famine. There's still enemies out beyond these walls. I think they're still worried. I believe. Help me say this right, Lord. Though they've had a time of construction, they need a time of instruction. Though they've had, well, preacher, it's not construction, it's reconstruction. Well, then I'm going to label it re-instruction. And in chapter number 8, we see the people. May I say this tonight? The building, will y'all hear me? The building of the walls, while important, is not the most important thing. It's what goes on inside the city walls that matters to God. Are y'all okay with that statement? You see, God is about to bless His people. I mean, something's missing. They've got the walls. But God's getting ready to do something to revive them. To send a devil-defeating, sin-killing, Holy Ghost-sent revival to the people of God. And I want to show you where it started. Then they've decided they're going to be building on the book. Somebody bring me the book. In Nehemiah chapter 8, verse 1, all the people gathered themselves together as one man in the street that was before the water gate. And they spake unto Ezra the scribe to bring the book of the law of Moses, which the Lord had commanded to Israel. I want to preach tonight on building on the book. Somebody bring the book. I'm glad, thank God tonight, that we've got the book, which is the Word of God. When I was just a little pup of a boy, the preacher laid his Bible down. Dad, do you remember? At the back door, he said, son, I want you to stand on that. Daddy taught me respect the Word of God. I looked at my daddy. He told me I could stand on his Bible. Is that okay? Dad said, you just do what the man of God says. Son, I stood up and stepped forward and stood on the Word. He said, son, you stand on the Word all your life and it'll take you to places you never thought you could stand or go. I'm telling you tonight, amen, from that very moment, God already knew I'd be a preacher. I had no idea. And here I stand tonight to tell you, stand on the Word. Build on the book. Father, would you help us then tonight to preach in the power and the demonstration of the Spirit of God. And for your help we need. Lord, lead, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Do you see in this verse, these people that are gathered there before the, interesting, before which gate? The water gate. 10 gates around the city. 9 of the 10 were burnt with fire. Had to be repaired and reset. Only one didn't need repair or resetting. It was the water gate. You know what it represents? The Word of God. It is perfect. It is entire. It is God-breathed. And here come the people, number one, that have a hunger for the Word, gathered around the water gate. They say to the man of God, who has prepared his heart to seek the law of the Lord, bring us the book. Bring us that which is trustworthy. Bring us that which is reliable. Bring us that which changes not. Don't give us today's news. Give us orders from headquarters. What is it that we need to do? And Ezra, the man of God, brings forth the book. I want to say to you tonight, do you have a hunger for the Word of God? A little boy asked his daddy. He said, Daddy, is this God's book? He said, of course it is. He said, Daddy, maybe we need to give it back to him. We don't use it very much. Do you have a hunger for the Word? Preaching in just a little country church, we'd had a good service. Two or three had been saved. I turned it over to the pastor. I went and sat back down on the front row beside a little tow-headed, freckle-faced boy. He was barefooted. He'd been riding his bicycle all day. Sweat had dried on him now. His clothes was tattered and torn, and he had a little bit of smell of dirt. And I like that smell, amen. And I sat down beside him there on the front row, and the preacher said, I got another verse or two that I want to read, if it's all right. And I said, That'd be just fine. Y'all can't see what I'm going to do here, but that little boy, he moved over to me like this, and he got my Bible, and he held half of it, and I held the other half, and he started rubbing its pages, and he started rubbing his hand over it. And I thought, man, that little boy don't have a Bible. And I started watching how he began to fall in love with my Bible that I had in my lap. And God said, why don't you love my Word like he does? Why don't you just labor over its pages? Why don't you love what I'm telling you? What is it that you think is so automatic? You don't love my Word like that little boy does. Just in the minute he pushed that Word back into my lap, he made his way in the altar. He motioned for me to come. Oh, and he said, preacher, I'm going to what you said, hell. I need to be saved. And Word, show me. And I got that same Word and laid it open and began to show him. And he got saved by the grace of God. Amen. Do you have a hunger for the Word of God? Many of you have a hunger for bread. I'll be honest today, I had some interviews and some things to take care of early this morning at our school, and God blessed us with new students and interviewing new staff. And I'm telling you, I was coming home and I told my wife, I said, you know, I'm hungry. We need to go get some lunch or have, you know, maybe fix something at the house. I'll be honest, I said, I've not been hungry like this in a long time. And God hit me and said, are you hungry for me like that? Will you stand before the people of God tonight and tell them, I'm hungry for something not down in my belly. I'm hungry for something down in my soul. I'm so hungry, Brother Nathan. I've not been this hungry in a long time. And my daddy said, I've got something better than bread that I want to feed you. You know what the Bible says in the book of Job? Chapter 23, I have esteemed the words of his mouth more than necessary food. Some of you, you have a desire for money. Oh, you just want to get a raise at your job. I remember I used to make $2.75 an hour. Some of y'all remember when you made less than that. I remember my boss called me and said, I'm going to give you a quarter hour raise. I thought, man, I'm a Rockefeller now. Move over, Sam Walton. I'm making $3.00 an hour. Woo! Man, I don't know what I'm going to do with all that extra money. Some of you say, all you want is money. The Bible says in Psalm 19:10, more to be desired than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey from the honeycomb. I saw that in that song again tonight. Hallelujah. I knew I was in the right place. Psalm 119:162. I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. The people gathered for they had a hunger for the word of God. Do you have a hunger for the word of God? Second of all, there has to be some hearing of the Word. The man of God, he brought the book. And verse 2, Ezra the priest brought the law before the congregation, both of men and women, and all that could hear with understanding
upon the first day of the seventh month, and he read therein before the street that was before the water gate from the morning till the midday. You know what that means? From 6 a.m. until noon, the man of God opened the Word of God and began to read it before all those assembled that were hungry. Preacher, I've done the math. That's 6 hours. How long are you getting ready to preach to us? For 6 solid hours. And they were not concerned what time the service was letting out. They wanted to hear what the Word of God had to say to them about their lives. Amen. Hallelujah. He read it. Look with me. They desired to hear the Word of God. He read it even before all the little ones. And the ears of all the people, verse 3, were attentive unto the book of the law. You know what America's real problem is? You know what the problem in a lot of our churches is? We've gotten away from the Word of God. I'm telling you, I can cut on now and try to watch services, and I see preachers who are not even using scriptures giving a speech, having puppets. It's unbelievable what's going on. We've got a bunch of pussyfooting preachers who don't want to stand up and preach the infallible, inspired Word of God because they're afraid it'll make somebody feel guilty. Because it'll make somebody feel bad, and then they'll be mad at them for making them feel bad. Honey, it's not me making you feel bad. It is the Word of God and the Spirit of God convicting you and drawing you and wooing you to a place of repentance. We need to return to the Word of God. I dare say, I'm talking to somebody tonight, you don't read like you once did. Man, you are dedicated to read. I challenge you. Preacher, you can't challenge. I challenge you. To read the Word of God tonight when you get home, tomorrow when you're taking a day off from the revival, and Saturday before the youth meeting, and you come in here 3 days, read about 15 or 30 minutes or an hour. Honey, this place will be supercharged if we would get a hunger for the Word of God, for a hearing of the Word of God. I'm still amazed. I'm still amazed that our school, we can go and we'll have chapel service. Mondays at 1:30 usually. Amazing. We make sure everybody's gone to the bathroom before it starts. And soon as the singing is done, and the preacher gets up and reads his scripture, I got to go to the bathroom. I got to go to the bathroom. I got to, and you just see a step. I said, let me tell y'all something. We stopping this, shutting it down right now. I've seen some of y'all. You can play video games for 6 hours and never move. But the man of God get in the pulpit, I gotta go. Amen. Unbelievable. In a 6 hour service, nobody moved. Nobody went in or out. They listened. They were hungry to hear the Word of God. The Bible says in verse 4, that Ezra stood upon a pulpit of wood, amen, which they had made him for the purpose. It's got a list of men. There are 13 of them, 14 counting Ezra, 2 times God's perfect number, standing up there. And Ezra, look with me in verse 5, he opened the book in the sight of all the people. He was above all the people. Now, there's on a platform when he opened it. And all the people stood up. What about the reverence they gave the Word of God? Ezra blessed the Lord, the great God. He's expressing his praise as he gets started. And all the people answered, amen! Amen! Let me just tell you tonight who my God is. He's the Alpha and the Omega. He is the beginning and the end. He is the Christ. He is the day star. He is the Eternal One. He is the Father, amen. He is the glory of God. He is holy, hallelujah. He is Emmanuel. He is Jesus. He is King of Kings. He is Lord of Lords, amen. He is the Master, the Messiah. He is the name above all names. He is omnipotent, omnipresent, and omniscient. He is the quickener, amen. He is the redeemer. He is the savior. He is the triumph. He is the unique one. He is the victor. He is the witness and the way. He is the excellent one. He is Yahweh. He is the zenith of all our hopes and all of our expectations. I prayed his name, church. And when he started reading, everybody said, amen. Amen. Thirdly, when I read that, it makes me think about the honor that was given to the Word of God. Look again in verse 3, end of the verse. What honor did the people give the Word? They were attentive to the book of the law. Are you attentive to the preaching of the Word of God? Verse 5, when he opened the book, end of the verse, all the people stood up. It's amazing. We should stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. We should stand for the national anthem. When there's been a death, the preacher says, everybody stand. You do. When the bride comes in, here comes the bride. Everybody stand. You do. When the judge comes out, Your Honor, please stand before Your Honor. Everybody stands. But for the Word of God, our people are not standing as they should. Amen. And it breaks my heart. May I give you a verse of Scripture? In the book of Isaiah, I want to read it. I know you know it. You can quote it. I can too. But I want you to see it in context. In Isaiah chapter 40. Isaiah chapter 40. And in verse number 8. The Bible says, the grass withereth, the flower fadeth, but the Word of our God shall stand forever. The word stand is interesting to me as I was talking about us standing. The word stand is a Hebrew word, yakum. It means it rises to stand. There have been many who's tried to stomp it out, but it stood right back up. People try to knock it out, but it stood right back out. Voltaire said, in my lifetime, I will rid this world of that Bible that 12 apostles tried to bring in. Voltaire said in 100 years, there'll be no more Bibles. May I say tonight that Voltaire is dead and gone, amen, and the Word of God lives on. I have a personal copy, and from his home, his residence he once lived in, guess what they're doing? They're printing Bibles. They said, I'm going to get rid of it. And from his home, they're printing the Word of God. May I just say, look at the response. Go back to our text. Everybody said, amen. Amen. It means, so let it be. Amen is also a term which means Jesus. He ends at Matthew, Mark, if you got the right kind of Bible. At the end of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, at the end of it, the last word is amen. That's Jesus. He is the faithful amen. It means let it be. Dad, pastor, I call him pastor, but he's my dad. Dad, I remember in service, the first time God prompted me, he said, I want you to holler amen right now. Amen. I thought they'd have to call 911 and pick people up off the floor. That boy just hollered amen. He ain't never said nothing in his whole life. What in the world? It shocked me. Listen, come on, get him out of here. I'm just telling you. You would shock people to death if you actually got in the service and said, amen, preacher. Amen to the Word of God. Amen to what the Spirit of God wants done right here. You still won't do it. I got about 4 people involved, though, so we're on our way. It's amazing. You go to the ball game, you will holler amen, but you'll say, woo, he hit it deep, and woo, he caught that pass for a touchdown, woo, he shot that basket at the end of the game, woo. You'll scream everywhere else, but you get in churches. I really think at church on Sunday, when the clock strikes 12, the dead go out. Amen. Do you realize the difference you can make by saying amen? Lost people come into your congregation. They're here every Sunday. You just don't know it. And they're sitting here on these pews. I know the cameraman's having trouble. That's all right. Lost person sitting here and the preacher's up there preaching. And he says something interesting and says something true. And the lost man's sitting here thinking, I don't know about that. Wonder what this church, what these other people think about it. And if y'all just sitting there, like everybody else, then he ain't gonna get it. But if y'all holler, amen, he's going to sit here and say, you know what? There must be something to what he just said. Then people's getting behind what he's saying, amen. Man, I better start examining myself. Listen to what this guy's got to say, amen. I'm telling you, you're not just agging the preacher on. Amen. I know where I used to pastor. We had a guy who sat on the back row, and I didn't know it. He'd raise his hand like this. Man, I just preached for another 15 or 20 minutes. A few years later, I had his former pastor come in. He said, is so-and-so still on the back row and put his hand up like this with 5 minutes before 12? I said, oh, Lord, I thought he was in the Holy Ghost. And I didn't know he was saying that was a five-minute warning. I thought he said, if he's saying preach on, I think I just will, amen. Say, not just saying sick of the preacher. You're saying amen to what's being said. So let it be. I agree, amen. Oh, let me just get personal. You talk about sports. I don't like sports. You'll holler about the election. Oh, everybody's got you'll holler about the weather. But when you get in the house of God, it's amazing you get mysteriously silent. The people had gathered that day. They were hungry to hear and to honor the Word of God. And they said, man of God, to what you've read, amen, amen. It's happening, preacher. Thank you for it, amen. I want to look at verse number 9. I'm jumping to verse 7. Look at verse 7. I skipped it. These men, these 13 men, Ezra 14, look at it. They caused the people to understand the law. Verse 8, so they read in the book of the law distinctly and gave the sense and caused them to understand the reading. Have you ever read? I just don't know. I'm not getting it. And you hear a man of God preach and it opens it up to you. Amen. Expound the Word. Teach the Word. Preach the Word. I know one time Paul told Timothy, give exhortation to reading, amen. And I'm telling you, we should preach the Word of God. Verse 9. I want us, last of all, to heed the Word. Nehemiah, which is the Tirshatha, that's the governor, and Ezra, the priest, the scribe, and the Levite that taught the people, said unto all the people, this day is holy unto the Lord, your God, mourn not nor weep. For all the people wept when they heard the words of the law. You see that? They heard God's Word and it made an impact in their life. They began to fall over weeping and crying. I mean, listen, when I read to you out of Leviticus tonight, that's Old Testament. That is a promise that's true to the people of God. Did you know that you are spiritual Israel? Let me say that for no, we not. You are spiritual Israel. And that is good for you and for me. We best be careful or God will allow trouble to come in our life. Let's obey God to the best of our ability. And the people begin to weep. They begin to mourn. Amen. And I thank God that they were. I'm telling you, brokenness leads to repentance. There'll be no revival without mourning. There'll be no revival without repentance. But preacher Darren, they said, don't weep. Everybody's weeping. Well, let's go a little further, verse 10. Then he said to them, go your way. Eat the fat. Drink the sweet. Send portions unto them for whom nothing is prepared. For this day is holy unto our Lord. Neither be ye sorry, for the joy of the Lord is your strength. After you've had a time of brokenness and repenting and getting right with God, you're not to stay mournful. God does something to you to give you joy. You know what the Bible says? Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. saying you're not going to stay mournful. When I get a hold of you and you get sorry for your sin and you repent, when I do a work in your life, you won't stay sorrowful. You won't stay mourning. You won't stay broken. I'll give you joy. Amen! Glory to God. Thank the Lord for that. Amen. I just want to say the devil will break you down. He'll keep you there. There's some of you, you came in here, you just came in sad. You've been sad all day. You're sad. You'll come to the altar sad. You'll pray sad. You'll get up sad. You'll go home. You're just sad, sad. It's just sad, sad, sad. God said, I'm not interested in you being sad, 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 Fletcher. There's a time for brokenness. When these walls have been rebuilt, when these gates have been restored and repaired, when the Word of God is being preached, I want you to build on it. Don't you sit around here sorrowful. I want you to rejoice. The joy of the Lord is your strength. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. No matter what I go through, no matter what problems, what adversity, what burdens I'm going through, I can have joy. I feel like jumping pews. I pray that God would send us such a rain of revival in this place. It'd be a frog-choking, stump-floating revival. And God would run in here so we'd get excited about what God's doing in our midst. He's been good to us, church. Oh, so good. Well, verse 11, the Levites stilled the people. Said, hold your peace, for the day is holy. Verse 12, all the people went their way to eat and drink and to send portions. I don't have time to preach the rest of this, but guess what they did? Rest of the chapter. They got obedient to what they heard. When you see a people that's been impacted and has been inspired and they begin to apply what God has taught them in their life and they get obedient, you better get out of their way. My wife's sister, she has two children by a man that is an atheist. He's Chinese, not even a Buddhist. And he swore his children would never go to church. He went to jail for whatever. And she brought him to our church. The oldest one came in. And in his hand was a Dracula book. Not a Bible. A Dracula book. In his ears he had them AirPods. And I walked up to him. And I could hear. Boogity, 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 boo. Boogity, 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 boo. Boogity. I wanted to bless God with them. Out of his ears and throw his Dracula book down. And God said, you leave him alone. Flesh and blood won't reveal it to him. You think you're going to get him? You think you're going to reach him? You think you're going to... Flesh and blood won't do this. It'll be my spirit that gets him. You leave him alone. But it's an embarrassment to me. Who cares if it's an embarrassment to you? That's the pastor's family. Who cares? You need to get humbled. So for weeks, I got there and preached and preached. And one Sunday morning, his mama busted off the pew she was sitting in and landed on this side of the aisle, motioned for me to come. And she said, Darren, I've lied to you. You've asked me so many times if I'm saved. I'm not saved. I've been plastic. I've been counterfeit. I'm a fake, a fraud, a phony. I need to be saved. Will you forgive me? I said, honey, you don't need to ask me. You need to ask God. Come, let us reason together, says the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, you should be white as snow. She called on the Lord and got saved. Turned around and told the church, I'm sorry for being phony plastic. I've been a hypocrite, standing in everybody's way. Oh, please forgive me. And the church come and loved on her. And when I got done preaching that day, God saved 12. We come back Sunday night. We was in the prayer room. I told them, man, you better pray hard because that, if you think that wasn't on hell's red alert and that's on their radar system, you'd be crazy. They're going to do all they can to stop us. Let's pray the God of heaven would put a wall of fire around this place and he'd be the glory in the midst. Guess what God did? God saved 13. We lined them up from one side of our little church to the other side, standing shoulder to shoulder, 25 people that had just been born again. What a time. And I was in the back now after the service was over. People lined up loving on people. I thought I'd go to the back, shake people's hand, thank them for coming, try to invite them back for Wednesday service. My wife said, you've got a problem. 25 people just got saved. How could it be a problem? You've got a bigger problem than you think. Camden. He is mad. He's belligerent. I mean, he's yelling, screaming mad. He marched himself down this way. We have a baptistry like y'all. He's down this hallway. You need to go talk to him. I went down through there, opened the door. I said, Tim, what in the world? I thought he was some man. He threw his Dracula book down. He threw his earbuds out of his ear. He said, Uncle Darren, is this real? I said, what real? 25 people got saved and my mama got saved. I said, I don't know. You tell me. I want to know, is it real? Well, tell me. Who is Muhammad? Muhammad? The kid wants to work for NASA. One of the smartest people ever. He told me all about Muhammad. I mean, he gave me 5 minutes. I said, tell me about Buddha. Tell me about Confucius. I called him Confucius. Tell me about all these leaders. Now tell me about Jesus. Did he speak? Jesus. He said, Jesus, leader of the Jews. Good man, they crucified him. I said, I have a question for you. Did he speak to you tonight? Did he speak to you? He fell out of the windowsill. He was yelling for him. And he fell on all four. And he said, Uncle Darren, he did. And that's the thing. Dead people can't talk. Dead people can't talk. And Uncle Darren, I don't understand it. How's he doing this? I said, because he wants to save you. Will you let him in? And right there, whoo, in that little hallway down there by the baptistry, that old boy got saved. Amen. He got up, hugged my neck. He opened that door. He came out. The place fell dead quiet. He said, woo, Jesus has just saved me. You see what a difference? He went from mourning to shouting, amen. Hallelujah. The joy that came. His sister, I'm not done yet. His sister took off running. And she jumped up in my arms. And I called her and she said, Uncle Darren, if God saved Tim, then do you think he saved me too? I need to be saved. And she got saved too. God saved the whole little family that night, amen. Woo, hallelujah to God. My God can do it. You build the walls. You repair the gates. You build on the Word of God. Get in the book. You watch what God will do in your family. You stand to your feet. I'm done. Maybe somebody come help me pray. We need revival. My family needs revival. My church needs revival. Fletcher needs revival. You need revival. Your church needs revival. You need help from God. I'm challenging Preacher Darren. If I go down there, that means you mean business with God. Do not be ashamed. Somebody come to PN and play. Whatever God, I'm telling you, this altar, everybody in this church, I'm asking you, get on your knees with me. We've got a Saturday night youth meeting. Let's pray and ask God to save somebody that God would do a work. Amen. Please come down and help us pray. Plead to God over your family. Plead to God over your church. Plead to God over our nation. Plead to God tonight over this meeting that's coming. Thank you. Thank you. If you're watching at home, I'm asking you, would you take the time to bow your head? If you can bow your knee and get on your face before God and say, oh God, would you touch? Oh God, would you revive? Give me a hunger for the Word of God again. Woo! Hallelujah. The joy of the Lord is your strength. Oh God, tonight. As we bow on bended knee, Lord, you have our attention, sir. We're extremely, exceedingly wicked. Oh, wretched man that I am. Who shall deliver me from this body of death? But I thank God through Jesus Christ my Lord. You can deliver. You can pardon. You can save. Lord, there's not a problem. There's not a prayer request that we bring to you that you don't have an answer for, that you can't meet the need. So God, just as humbly as we know how, we say, Lord, you lead. Oh God, you have your way. Lord, I'm hungrier tonight than I've ever been in my life. I'm hungry for the things of God. Hungry for the Word of God. Hungry for the moving of the Spirit of God. Oh God, I come hungry tonight. And you said, Lord, if we hunger and thirst for righteousness, you would fill us up. God, I pray tonight, Lord, you'd touch this church. God, you'd bless these people. Move upon them, upon their homes, their lives, their families. God, I pray you'd encourage them to return and build on the Word of God. Help them, God, I pray. Touch our churches, God. Touch our nation, Lord. Turn her, Lord, I pray. Help, Lord. Truth is found in the streets. The walls of decency and the walls of doctrine are falling to the ground. Help us, God. There is much rubbish. Help us, Lord, to return to the work and stand though we be knocked down. Stand though we be knocked back. Stand. Rise to stand like the Word of God. Give us a backbone, God. Give us courage, Lord. Help us, God, to resist the schemes of Satan, and that You might give us victory. Bless us, O Lord our God. We beseech You, O God, great and terrible. Help us, Lord. Save our lost. Meet the needs. God, provide, I pray. Protect, Lord, I ask. In Jesus' name, amen and amen.